Kia ora, welcome to Focus on Politics. I'm Jane Patterson. Cries for help from the beleaguered media industry have grown louder and more desperate in recent months, with some facing sale or closure if there's not a significant change to the current market model. Against that backdrop, the government's been working away on a plan for public broadcasting. To bolster publicly funded media is the main priority, but ministers will be acutely aware of any broader consequences for the commercial players. RNZ was leaked information about a plan that could be before cabinet ministers within the month. The proposal is to disestablish the public broadcasters RNZ and TVNZ and create an entirely new entity. This is just the latest twist in the handling of public broadcasting since the coalition was elected in 2017.
Today, we're announcing $38 million of investment, which we intend in part to contribute to what we are calling RNZ Plus. Our intent is that we mirror some of the modelling...
On the campaign trail, Labor leader Jacinda Ardern and the party's broadcasting spokesperson Claire Curran unveiled plans for a new public digital media service that would have included a free-to-air, non-commercial television service.
Well, at the moment they are doing some broadcasting, but we see that being expanded. We'll allow them to work out whether or not that's a 24/7 program.
Claire Curran was duly appointed Broadcasting Minister. At the end of October 2017, she spoke to Media Watch's Colin Peacock, outlining her vision for RNZ Plus.
RNZ does a very good job, and I think that's important to say up front. But it's been difficult. We want to put a value on it, so it's more good stuff. That involves news and current affairs, documentary, drama, children's content. It involves ensuring that we're representing all of New Zealand and we're able to do that so that the stories are being told around New Zealand now, which isn't to say that RNZ doesn't attempt to do that, but, you know, resource-wise, it struggles. It can't cover international events to the extent that it used to.
In the May 2018 budget, the first after the election, the government allocated an additional $15 million for public broadcasting, split between RNZ, New Zealand On Air and an innovation fund, well short of the $38 million promised on the campaign trail. But a series of missteps resulted in Ms Curran's resignation as minister, and RNZ Plus went the same way. Chris Farfoy, a former TVNZ reporter, was appointed as her successor. Last year, Media Watch's Colin Peacock did an interview with the new minister, where Chris Farfoy said he could not just disregard the wider industry.
The media is changing. We shouldn't cut ourselves off to at least having conversations about how do we make sure that the kind of content that we care about gets in front of New Zealanders to watch, read and listen to. The old school way of thinking, I think, was fine back then, but media is changing so fast, and some of the powers that we are up against are big global players. So I think we've got to play a wise local game and at least have a lot of conversations. We may discount those conversations at the end of the day, but with a relatively small pot of money available to do an important job, when you look at the bombardment of content that we've got, I'm willing to have a conversation and discount it rather than discount having the conversation at the beginning.
In the 2019 budget, the money for RNZ was still lower than expectations, a $2.75 million boost for day-to-day operations and $3.5 million for capital spending over the next 3 years. The message from the government was it had been holding back on any substantial funding commitments until ministers decided what to do with public broadcasting. Chris Farfoy was subsequently promoted to Cabinet and told Media Watch he'd take a fresh look at how to strengthen public media and make sure New Zealanders had access to local content. Work has continued since, and this week RNZ was leaked the primary recommendation from the advisory group comprising representatives from RNZ, TVNZ and agencies including Treasury, New Zealand On Air, the State Services Commission and the Ministry for Culture and Heritage. RNZ understands that group had three options to consider: merge the RNZ and TVNZ newsrooms, put more money into New Zealand On Air, or the third, preferred option. it concluded the status quo was unsustainable and collectively recommended the government agree to disestablish TVNZ and RNZ and to establish a new public media entity. The new entity would have a clearly defined public media mandate and purpose with the core functions of a globally recognised public media entity. It would provide public media services across a variety of platforms, quote, some of which may be advertising free. TVNZ earns revenue from advertising, but RNZ is commercial free. There'd be a mixed funding model, funded both directly from the Crown and from a range of non-Crown sources, including advertising, sponsorship and subscriptions. It would operate as a not-for-profit and would have statutory protection for editorial and operational independence. The Prime Minister would not confirm any details when asked by reporters, but did not resile from the government's intention to make changes.
We haven't made any decisions. What will be clear to all New Zealanders is that now more than ever, we need the support of public broadcasting. We are seeing a change in the way that companies access revenue. We're seeing a decline internationally in journalism in terms of their revenue sources. It's become a really difficult environment. So we do need to support public broadcasting, but at this stage, as a government, we haven't made any decisions.
Do you have some options?
Obviously, we made very clear from the beginning of this term of government that we wanted to look into ways that we can better support public broadcasting. And now some of recent decisions, I think that even that just only reinforces why we need to do that. We have set up networks of advice, and that's coming into government, but we haven't made any decisions yet.
What sort of timing for a decision? You know, how fast are you going to be moving on this?
Again, we haven't finalised timelines, but obviously the Minister has been working on this issue for some time. As soon as we've made decisions, of course, we'll make them known.
The Broadcasting Minister, Chris Farfoy, also refused to be drawn on any plan when questioned by reporters at Parliament.
I think we've been saying for some time that we're working on it. We're certainly wanting to, given the situation with the media at the moment, support public media as much as we can. So we haven't taken it to Cabinet. We said we'll make decisions and make announcements by the end of the year. That's what we're still focused on.
So have you received the recommendations?
We've received a number of recommendations, but as I say, we're still going through those and we're yet to take it to Cabinet. So,
do you have a preferred recommendation?
No, I'm not going to go into any details because I haven't taken it to my colleagues in Cabinet. Oh, look, it's unhelpful, but it doesn't mean we're not focused on making sure that we get to a decision before the end of the year and set public broadcasting on a course to make sure it can survive the troubles that I think media in general are facing.
Is disestablishing RNZ and TVNZ an option on the table?
Look, I know you guys are very interested in it, but I'm not going to get into detail until I discuss this with Cabinet colleagues around that table.
What problem is it that you're trying to fix?
Oh, look, I think I don't need to tell all of you how difficult the media landscape is at the moment. Revenue is driving a lot of that. The ability to pay for journalism is part of that, and I think a need for a country like ours to have good quality journalism. So we've been saying for quite some time that we want to make sure that we look at what we can do to support public broadcasting, because they are the assets that the government and taxpayers own.
The National Party leader Simon Bridges came out strongly against the idea of one state broadcaster.
I think it'd be far too powerful, and that's bad for democracy. I mean, look, where it took an editorial line, and it inevitably would, that would become the received wisdom, if you like. And I think what liberal democracy needs is many voices and opinions that check each other.
The argument is that the media industry is under such threat from big online giants that something needs to happen, that the status quo just is not going to make it into the future. Do you think something radical needs to be done, or do you think this is just the wrong way to go?
Look, National doesn't have its head in the sand. I accept that it's a difficult media landscape. Things are changing. If the situation is in some sort of crisis, I think there are certainly answers that can be found, and I'm not going to design them today, but I do think, you know, for example, the notion of further NZ On Air funding to ensure there's good quality news in New Zealand is not something I would dismiss out of hand. But I would make the point, it does need to be bipartisan so that it is an enduring set of solutions. And look, if it's not, I think National would need to consider unwinding a solution it disagreed with if it was in office.
Because that's part of the question here is the commitment of National, and this is something that you would not be signing up to?
A merged state broadcaster that took Radio New Zealand and TV New Zealand and put them together, increased funding, did these sorts of things, look, it would just be too powerful, be bad for democracy. Its views would become the predominant ones, and the danger would be, whilst there are other strong outlets, that you're not having equal voices checking each other, contested opinions, where there were editorial lines from that one state broadcaster, you know, they would become the received wisdom. That would be bad for a liberal democracy.
Ms Ardern replied there were greater threats to democracy.
The decline of journalism, and that's occurring around the world as a result of new competing forms of advertising, of course new online platforms taking some of those advertising revenues. We cannot afford to have our journalistic integrity compromised by being unable to fund and run decent both journalism and of course broadcasting. And so I do think there's a risk here, but bolstering public broadcasting is the answer, not the problem.
Will Labor be campaigning at all on any significant changes in the media space?
We already campaigned on a platform of public broadcasting, and I think what we're seeing now demonstrates why that's important.
Peter Thompson is a senior lecturer in media and communication at Victoria University and the chair of the Better Public Media Trust. While he cautiously welcomes the prospect of an overhaul of the public media sector, he has reservations about a mixed funding model in any new entity.
Because I think there are distinctive functions between the commercial side and the public service side, and putting them together hasn't worked too well in the past.
What are the other risks for disestablishing two companies and starting afresh with a new entity?
Well, it depends how far they're fundamentally disestablished and bolted together. I think it would be a terrible idea to disestablish Radio New Zealand's core channels because they work extremely well as public service radio stations at the moment, and of course there's a strong public service online component to that as well. So the problem would come is if you started to introduce advertising, particularly into the Radio New Zealand model, you'd immediately start to dilute its charter functions, and I think that would be extremely problematic. With TVNZ, I guess the challenge would be that if you're going to make part of it or all of it a public service operation, then you'd need to contend with what is now a very deeply rooted commercial culture, and you'd need to be very, very clear about what public funding was intended to achieve. I mean, back in the days when we had the TVNZ charter, it had a dual remit and not very much public funding at all. In fact, the government took more out in dividends than it gave it in funding. And as a result, it completely muddied the charter operation. It wasn't clear what the funding was going to deliver, and it wasn't clear what the expectations were. And I hope that the government's going to avoid that scenario.
Most people acknowledge, however, that something needs to happen. The advisory group itself saying the status quo is unsustainable for media, and including public media.
I would broadly concur with that. My understanding is that Minister Farfoy has disestablished the advisory group now, but there was certainly a report that they commissioned under the Ministry for Culture and Heritage that was looking at the options for greater cooperation within the public sector. But you're absolutely right that of course, this isn't just an issue for public service and state-owned media. It's also issues that are affecting the entire media ecology, particularly those that are involved in news production. I mean, with the commercial pressures of digital advertising shifting to the intermediaries like Google and Facebook, the entire sector has been faced with a significant funding squeeze, and the impact on journalism has been palpable. So I think there really is a good time, in fact it should have been a good time a decade ago, to review the institutional arrangements for how we go about ensuring that we have a media system fit for the 21st century that serves us not only as consumers who want to binge watch Game of Thrones, but as citizens who want high quality news, current affairs and a range of other programs that, that addresses the needs of a wide community of publics.
Are there other options that the government should be considering, or do you think the time for looking and considering is over?
Well, I think it's been high time they did something for 20 years, quite frankly. The solutions haven't been forthcoming, unfortunately. The key to all of this, of course, is funding. If you have a vision for public service, it's absolutely essential that the funding match that vision, and in the past it hasn't done so.
The price tag of any new venture will be an important consideration for ministers. Will they want to commit a sizeable amount of money to public broadcasting in an election year budget, or even start to draw down on 2021? This is still at the early stages, but Cabinet Ministers are expected to consider the proposal and the Minister make an announcement before Parliament rises for the Christmas break. If Ministers do give it the green light, it would only be at a high level. A business case with full costings and timeframes would then have to be drawn up, and even then any plan would likely be carried out over 3 to 4 years. Labor made a big deal about saving and strengthening public broadcasting on the campaign trail. The time is now ticking for Mr. Farfoy to reveal what that will look like as election year rapidly approaches. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Jane Patterson. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to listen to this program again, head to rnz.co.nz/focusonpolitics, where you can listen, rate, review and subscribe to Focus on Politics on iTunes. Ngā te wā.